Blog Talk Radio.
He's awakening the hope in me by calling for my destiny. He's breathing life into my soul. I will thirst for him and him alone. He has come like the rain, the showers on the barren plain. So my heart, tongue confess, Jesus Christ, the hope of man. My hope is in you, God. I am steadfast. I will not be moved. I anchor, never shake.
Fast, I will not be.
Amen. Amen. Welcome, everybody, to the Healing Light Show. This is the Wednesday night service. We got guest speaker, Evangelist Robert Hager. How you doing, Robert Hager?
I'm doing fine, my brother. How are you?
Doing pretty good tonight. Jacob Phillips, co-host, is here. How you doing, Jacob?
Doing well, Stan. Doing well.
It's awesome. We're expecting the Lord to touch everybody tonight. At this time, I say open heaven. You know, Father, bring you know, heaven down here on this radio station tonight. Holy Spirit, touch everybody tonight through this service. Touch these hearts. Turn these hearts. Lord Jesus, touch these people and heal these people during this service tonight. I invite you in Jesus' holy name. At this time, I ought to say the Lord's Prayer. I ask everybody to bow their heads. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our day, our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Now, when we first started putting this show together, I was putting some pictures together, and the first thing that the Lord put my eyes on was the tomb, the resurrection tomb, with the tomb open. And I talked to Robert, and I said, let's speak about something about, you know, what the resurrection did for everyday Christians. I mean, we hear about him dying on the cross and this and that on Calvary, but we don't hear about what the resurrection did for us. And that's what my brother Robert's going to be talking about tonight, and talking about grace and all kind of stuff like that, and we're going to be really, the Lord's going to really speak to us tonight. How's it going, Robert?
Oh, Stan, I am so excited. Every day is another day to glorify and honor our Father. I am seeing some of the greatest times of my life has been lived over the past 4 to 5 years of a new and fresh commitment to seek the Lord like I've never sought him before. And in that, I have just countless days of revelation being poured into my heart and into my mind of who we are created to be, what the Lord has provided for us through Christ Jesus as we accept his gift of grace. You know, it says in Ephesians chapter 2:8, for by grace we are saved by grace through faith. You know, that gift of God that we receive that gives us eternal life, that has become an awesome revelation in my life. And every day is another day to experience the goodness of God. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So, Robert, I mean, when you think about the resurrection, what does that really say to you? I mean, to the rest of us, it talks about freedom, you know, freedom from sin, and what Christ did for us to remove that. But how does that really touch you, and how does that move you?
Well, one of the things, I'm going to share something with you about something that took place in my life back in 1998. I first gave my heart to Jesus. It was in December on the 9th of 1989. And for approximately 8 years, I lived as a Christian, but I didn't have the comprehension of what I really had in Christ. I really didn't understand salvation. I knew I was born again. I knew I was heaven-bound. I knew that God wants us healed and that we're supposed to be prosperous and experiencing the goodness of God, but it was like I was reaching for it and couldn't grab it. Well, on January the 8th, 1998, I was at a service at, in Charlotte at Freedom Christian Center. That's where I attended church for 15 years. And my pastor, his name was Dr. Dean Melton, he told me to go home and read Genesis chapter 11, and he specifically said, focus on verse 6. Well, at the time, I had no clue what was going to happen and what he was saying to me about reading that verse. Well, I went home and read that verse, Stan, and I read it about 5 times before the light bulb came on. That scripture says that those people at the Tower of Babel, they had one language. They had one mind. They were strong because of their unity and their oneness. And at the time, I still didn't tie it together because the next few verses says that then they were separated and scattered. So it took me a while to get the revelation of it all. But Father pointed out to me that the relationship that Jesus the Messiah himself lived with him was just like we are reading in Genesis 11 about the people at the Tower of Babel. He had one language. He had one thought. He was unified with the Father in all his actions and his thoughts. And that is the relationship that he longs for each of us to have with him. And that's amazing.
Amen.
Amen.
Amazing how everybody had one language and, you know, they had to take, you know, all these learning classes how to understand each other's language. Everybody talked the same, you know, talked the same language. Amen.
Yeah. Well, that right there, what you just said was the key. The key was Jesus spoke his Father's language. Jesus himself said, and throughout the book of John, you can read it, time after time, he says, I only say what my Father says. And that right there is the key, that if we are speaking our Father's language, well, what is Father's language? According to the
love.
Yeah, go ahead.
Love, basically. A lot of his language is love.
Yes.
Pretty awesome.
Love is what I call one of the ingredients of what makes up Father's character. But
Amen.
The word, it is written in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. God is the Word. Father's language is God. When Father speaks, his words produce life, abundant life to those who seek it, wisdom, knowledge, understanding. It all comes from the Word of God. His Word is the Spirit. His Word is love, peace, joy. It is patient, good, gentle, kind. It is faithful, and it is self-control. His Word, it is all that He is. He esteems his word, Psalms 138, verse 2. He esteems his word greater than anything you can name. Hallelujah.
Amen, brother.
So what I'm saying is Father's word, the word of God, Jesus spoke his Father's language. And Father, when he spoke, all things were created by his spoken word. So God is not who we actually have to represent our Father. Father is a figure that we're supposed to be relating to and calling Daddy, having this awesome relationship with him, an intimate relationship with him that reflects that we are in him and he is in us. That's what Jesus demonstrated, and that's why Father sent him. The whole purpose for Father sending the Son was to restore and to redeem mankind back to the original status that Father had created man for in the beginning. It is written, Genesis chapter 1,
Verse 26, let us make man in our image. Father made man in his own image, and he gave him power and authority to rule and to reign over all things physical in this physical earth as a co-regent or a partner to himself. Father is always esteemed as the greatest. He is the creator, and we are the created to reflect his glory, created to represent him in this physical earth, and to demonstrate by our relationship that we are one with him, speaking his language, ruling and reigning in this earth as sons of God. In two different places in Scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, it says to walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are sons of God. And one of my favorites, John chapter 1, verse 12, for as many as believe and receive him, to them he gave power to be sons of God. Hallelujah. Ain't that something to rejoice over tonight?
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah on that one.
So Amen. What I'm getting at is the redemption, and I'm going to take us back to Genesis. Something happened in Genesis. In Genesis, Father created his son and gave his son authority over all things that were created. He crowned him in his glory. He put his very own spirit in his creation. And you know, we are the greatest that Father ever created. Nothing in creation can match humanity. We are the only part of creation that has authority and power and ability as our Father, given to us by our Father. So Adam was given a command to dress and to keep the garden. And he was told that there was a tree there that he needed to just watch it. That's all he had to do was watch it. He didn't have to touch it. He didn't have to do anything but watch it, keep an eye on it.
He didn't have to trim it up or anything.
He what?
I said he didn't have to trim it up or anything. All he had to do was watch it.
That's right. He didn't have to do anything but watch it. Father told him if he ever ate from it, that he would surely die. And we know from history that it didn't mean he was going to physically die. What happened to Adam in the garden was the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. He became a spiritual dead man that day. The day that he disobeyed Father, he went from being God of this physical earth to a lesser God living a substandard life in the physical earth. And that was never Father's intention. It was never intended for man to have to die and to go through sickness, disease, poverty, and lack. That tree that Adam was commanded to not eat of, it possessed sickness and disease, poverty, and lack. It possessed death. It possessed the things that Father would rather we never, ever experience. So when Adam disobeyed, the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, Father promised humanity right then that he was going to send a redeemer that was going to crush the head of the enemy. And that redeemer was going to redeem us back, reconcile us in our relationship, restore us to the original status of being sons of God once again. And you know, one of the things that happened throughout the history of humanity from Adam to Jesus, throughout the Word of God, when we read about people whom the Spirit came upon them, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Elijah, the Spirit came upon Samson, the Spirit came upon Saul. Everywhere that we read that the Spirit came upon someone, What was the one factor that happened after they did what they were supposed to do? What did the Spirit of the Lord do then? It departed from them. It didn't stay on them. They could not house the presence of the living God because they were spiritual dead men. I want to expound on that a little bit. Two different situations, one being Moses' life. We read about Moses asking Father when he was up on Mount Sinai. He said, "Let me see your face." He wanted to see Father. He wanted him to reveal himself to him. "I want to see your glory." And Father said, "Wait a minute, you don't know what you're asking. Moses, you can't look on me. You can't look at me and live, Moses." Why? Because Moses was a spiritual dead man. He was used of God. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, but he was a spiritual dead man. No one could house the presence of God until Jesus came. And he resurrected from the dead, redeemed mankind, took his blood, cleansed us of all unrighteousness, and made our temples ready to house the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Well, the second scenario comes with the story of David removing the ark after the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant. They finally gave it up, and it was left in a man's house. David sent the group of people to go and take the Ark of the Covenant and bring it back to Jerusalem. Well, if you read the story about the Ark of the Covenant, it was supposed to be moved by priests. And they were supposed to take these rods and stick through these holes at the base of each corner on the ark. And that way, they would bear the ark on their shoulders and carry it wherever it had to go. Well, as it is written, David sent a wagon to retrieve the ark and some people with it to bring it back to Jerusalem. And on the way back with the Ark of the Covenant, the ark began to rock on the wagon as if it was going to fall off. And a man by the name of Uzzah reaches out and touches it and falls dead. For years, I questioned that. I'm like, "Lord, why did this man fall dead from touching the ark?" And it was revealed. It was revealed to me because he was a spiritual dead man. Just like Moses could not see Father and live, Uzzah touched the presence of God, and because of his spiritually dead status, it took his life. It seems sad, but the man it wasn't his fault, and he died for doing what his king sent him to do. But it's all because he was a spiritual dead man. So the point I'm trying to make is this. When Jesus came into this earth, Jesus, the Messiah who was promised that would come and he would be the Lamb of God who would deal with sin, Jesus completely dealt with sin. His sacrifice was good once and for all. By his sacrifice, his cleansing blood has made us whole once again, capable of housing the Spirit of the living God without measure, just like we see he did in his life. The Son of God was filled with the Spirit after he was baptized in the Jordan River by John, and he started his ministry right afterwards. Amen?
Amen, Robert. We're going to stop right there, and we're going to play a song. We'll be right back with y'all.
Okay?
It's really eye-opening, and it's really touching a lot of people. I know it's touching me and Jacob here. Jacob, what are you thinking about all the stuff he's preaching about tonight, Jacob?
Oh, shoot, man, I'm enjoying listening to him. He's doing good.
Thank you.
Some of the guests we have come on here, we just like to sit back and listen and partake in what the Lord's speaking through these people. And it's something for everybody. Anybody that's listening to this on archives, it's actually going on archives later on. It might be 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks. You know, it's going to touch them then. And then, you know, the people that's listening to it now, it's touching them now. And I do say, Holy Spirit, touch these people, touch their hearts. Let them know that they need the Lord. And let them know how much the Lord wants them. The Lord wants them. A lot of people says, you know, thanks that the Lord's sitting there with his arms crossed and saying, You can come to me if you want to, but it ain't like that. He loves you. He misses you. He needs you. He wants you. And he's there to jump in anytime that you're asking. He'll come when you ask him. So, you know, at this time, I'm just going to go ahead and have whoever is not, you know, has not invited the Lord into their heart, you know, say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I ask you to forgive all the sins I've done and all the sins that I've done in the past and all the unknown sins I've done. I ask you to forgive them. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for me. You rose again for me. And I ask you to come and live within my heart. I ask you to come and live within my heart now, Lord Jesus. If you just said this prayer, the Lord has just came and made his home inside of your heart. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I think you stopped with, what was the ark? Where'd you stop a while ago?
I stopped with Jesus has made us capable of housing the Holy Spirit once again. That prayer that you just prayed was the prayer that gets the ball rolling. Do you know that there are so many people who accept Christ, but then they stop at the door? Jesus said, I am the door. We cannot get to Father unless we go through the door. There's so many people who go to Christ, but they never go into the house to see all the rest of the rooms that have been prepared for them. Just picture yourself walking into your home right now, and you turn around, shut the door behind you, and you never go into the living room, you never go into the bedroom, or you never go to the bathroom and experience the rest of the rooms in your house. You're going to miss out dearly if all you do is go through the door and stop. That's what I call a convert. A convert is a person who just accepts Christ but never pursues a relationship to understand the purpose of why Father sent him in the first place.
Yeah.
Amen? A disciple, amen. A disciple is a person who accepts him and then walks with him daily, wanting and desiring to be turned into that perfected image through and through.
That's one of the reasons why their cross came down here, where we'll have a relationship with the Father.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Like you said, where we could house the Spirit of God inside of us, the Holy Spirit, where we could have that relationship. And as I call the Holy Spirit, I call it as the cell phone to God. I mean, it's a straight connection that we never had before. And that where we can hold that inside of our hearts and have Christ living with inside us, where we can speak to him daily. And a lot of people, you know, when they get saved, they're like, I'm saved, I'm good now, I'm just going to live my life the way I want to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than that. It's more than that. It's a relationship. And I really think, I really, really do think, if you're thinking in them terms, that you're just doing it just to be good and then you're back to living your life, I don't think you was really meaning it to a point that you need to be accepting God. But, you know, a lot of people have their own points of views with that. But as we all know, Jesus is a heart person. He don't look how you live. I mean, he looks how you live. He looks at your heart. What's really going on inside of you, the love that's inside of you. And when Jesus comes in there, he wants to expand your heart. He wants to clean that heart up. He wants to expand that. And he expands that through communication, through communication. And a lot of people, when they think about communication with the Lord, they think just praying once a night or, you know, over your food during the day or maybe after church and that's it. No, communication is speaking with the Lord every day as a friend.
Every day. That's right.
As a friend. And after you do it, I mean, you know, I've helped teach supernatural schools and all these other things. After you do it enough, you'll start getting some comments back from the Lord. He'll start communicating back with you. It could be in the Bible. It can be in your heart.
Yes.
But, you know, it's starting that communication. And I've told a lot of people, you know, has just got saved. You know, read your Bible. You know, just talk to the Lord like he's a friend in your front seat. Just speak to him.
Yeah.
Talk to him. Build a
right.
relationship up. And that's
yeah.
that's what it's all about. But I hate to jump in there, Robert. I just had to get that out.
Yeah, that's great. I would like yeah. to give you another way to see what's taking place in the lives of all Christians. From the moment you accept Christ, what gets born again, because we are a three-part being, we are spirit, we are soul, we are body. The part of us that actually gets born again is the spirit man, the part that died in the garden with Adam. That is the part that gets rebirthed. It's changed. It is perfected. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 14 says that your spirit has been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. We get a brand new spirit. We become new creatures in Christ Jesus, as it is written. It is the spirit man that is restored completely to its original condition. The next part of our walk with Christ, being a disciple, I want you to look at it like this. Many people in the earth today own computers, okay? The information that you have on your hard drive is going to be there until you either do one thing, delete it, upgrade it, right?
Yep.
The information on your hard drive, it's going to always be there. A person who comes to Christ has to take the information that is on their hard drive, their soul, their mind, will, and emotions, and they have to reprogram their mind, will, and emotions to line up with the Word of God. If you cut off the computer and you turn it back on and you've not changed the information that's on it, what information was on it when you turned it off is going to be on it when you turn it back on. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to the image of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you don't renew your mind, you will not complete the package. Your spirit has been rebirthed. It is perfected. But in order to rebirth your soul, Jesus' little brother James wrote it in chapter 1, verse 21, set aside all this wrong thinking and let the engrafted word rebirth your soul. Our souls have to be rebirthed just like our spirit man becomes renewed. And until you do, you're going to go out and you're going to keep doing the things that you used to do. You're going to keep acting the way that you used to act until you put some new information on the hard drive.
Amen.
Amen. That is what's going on in so many Christian people's lives today. You know, people are asking the question, well, why does he go out? He calls himself a Christian, and he goes out and he does this like he used to do. Well, it's because he's not putting new information on the hard drive. You have to draw from the Word of God, dig and seek and pour yourself into it. Let it renew your thinking just like it renewed your spirit. If you don't renew your thinking, then you will continue to do what you've always done, and you're not going to look like you're born again.
Yeah, yeah.
He made it plain and simple for us. First, you come to Christ. Come through the door. Once you get in the door, well, let's measure the holy city. Let's say it's 1,500 miles square. The holy city. Okay? Once you go through the door, how many miles do you need to walk to get to the center? You would have to walk 750 miles to get to the center. It's a journey. Everyday journey. Take up your cross. Walk with me. Deny yourself. Change the way you think. Paul wrote, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, have in you the mind that is in Christ Jesus. Wow. Paul is telling us that we should be thinking like Christ.
Well, Isaiah wrote, chapter 55, verse 8 and 9, that God's ways and his thoughts are higher than our ways and our thoughts. So what he's telling us, he's not saying we can't have those ways and thoughts. He's just trying to tell us that they're above what we're used to. It's a standard that is set high that can only be reached through our faith and trust and confidence in our Father who created us to be like himself. Now, you asked me about grace, and tonight I want to explain grace. You know what grace is? Grace is Father treating me as if I never sinned. And you know how he's able to do that? Well, it says over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8, if you read verses 8 through 12, it is the clause of the new covenant. The new covenant that was established in the blood of Jesus. Verse 12 is the most important part of the clause. It says that I will remember your sin and your iniquity, your transgressions, no more. Father has made himself by the blood of Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus' son, he has made it possible for he himself to remember no more what we were. He gave the ultimate sacrifice. He gave the Lamb of God for all humanity to have the opportunity to be restored in relationship with himself. Grace is me accepting the gift that Father has provided so that I can be restored in relationship with him and I can experience the life that he created and ordained for mankind to live. Father made us so that we could reflect his image and represent him here in this physical earth. What does it take? What did Jesus do? Mark chapter 1, verse 15, when he came on the scene and started preaching, he made a statement that was profound in verse 15. He said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Let's talk about repent ye. Repent means to change your mind drastically. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus just broke it off right off the bat and said, change your mind. I'm getting ready to say something to you. It's going to sound too good to be true. The word gospel was not something like we've made it to be here in this day and era. We just throw it around loosely today. It was rarely ever used whenever something was being described. They would say gospel, and it means literally too good to be true. So Jesus said in that one verse, repent ye, have a drastic change in mind right now, and believe this news that I'm about to tell you that is too good to be true. Well, what were the people experiencing? Jesus was preaching to the Jews, and he was telling them who had been under the law, under the bondage of the law, under the bondage of trying to fulfill something that they could not fulfill in their own ability. Their righteousness was as filthy rags. No one could save themselves. So Father provided the way through Christ Jesus for mankind to be saved. Father provided the lamb, just like he did for Abraham when he was about to sacrifice his son. Father provided the lamb. And you know what the priest, you know what the priest did every time someone took a lamb to the priest to be sacrificed for their sins? They examined the lamb. But he didn't examine you. They examined the lamb. The lamb took away the sins, not you and I. We cannot save ourselves. And that's what mankind has tried to do since the fall.
Yep. There it is. Man. There's a lot of people is living, you know, trying to live under grace, but they're trying to live under the law too.
And that is not good.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I saw
I saw a lot of people that try to do that, and they keep on running the walls, and, you know, all these perks that Christ opened up for us, they don't see them because they're like, you know, Jesus, I want to live under the Jewish law. And he's like, go ahead if you think you can do it, you know. And then they run into walls, and it could be hard at times. And you was talking about how when, you know, when you're reading the Bible, it renews your mind. And in my ministry, I've ran into a lot of elderly people that has been renewing their mind for years, but it's never really fully, heartily accepted Christ. It's like their mind, they memorized the Bible, they got that down pat that can tell you each scripture, where it is and all that, but they don't have the Spirit to guide them. They don't have the Spirit to transform their vessel. But they have the stuff in their head. It's kind of like memorizing a nursery rhyme book. You've got it, but it didn't really do much. And without the Holy Spirit, you know, he's the only one there can help transform you while, you know, the biblical scriptures is being worked through you. And that's one thing you have to have. You can't have one and not have the other. You need both, especially the Holy Spirit. Or the whole battery pack don't work if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And,
well, you know, you're so right, Stan. But you know what makes the law something that brings death to us? The law was never given for man to live. The law was given to show mankind where he was coming up short. Man came up short in his attempt to be religious and think that he could save himself. So Father handed down the law, Exodus chapter 19. You read what prompted him to give the law in Exodus chapter 20. When Moses went to Father, and Father explained to him that he wanted to honor the covenant that he had established in the life of Abraham, the covenant that removed Abraham from the curse that was upon the earth. That was what that covenant was that Father established with Abraham. He blessed Abraham. Whatever he put his hand to prospered. He was, anywhere he went, it belonged to him. Father prospered Abraham. He became such a wealthy man that he and his family members had to split up. They had so much. That's the blessing of God that came upon him through the covenant that he cut with Abraham. Father was trying to honor that covenant in the life of the children of Israel, Exodus chapter 19, and then the children of Israel, in their own arrogance, says to Moses to tell Father that they could live whatever set of guidelines he set down for them. You can't just pick it out reading it. You need to do some real digging in Hebrew to look for the clues of what I'm saying here about the arrogance of the children of Israel, because Father's whole attitude changed the moment they said that, because they said that we can do it in our own ability. We don't need God. Well, that's the same attitude that Lucifer had, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. That's the same attitude that the people after the flood at the Tower of Babel had. Throughout the history of man, man has tried in his own ability to do enough good to save himself, and it won't work. So Father sent the answer to us in the form of a baby born in a manger who grew up to honor Father in every aspect of his life. And his obedience, we read about in Romans chapter 5, through the obedience of one, we are made righteous. Through the obedience of one, we are redeemed. We are restored. The gospel is we don't have to live under the curse anymore. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Amen?
I know Exodus talks about how God treated the Israelites when they was going through the desert, how when they want food, he'd bring food, they need water. Anything that they needed, he actually just handed it over to them. And that
That's
wasn't
right.
good enough to them.
That's right.
It wasn't good. wasn't good enough. And after they had a pity party, and then he just lowered the Big Ten on them. And solve that.
Well, the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments, he never intended for mankind to have to live in bondage to anything. And Christ Jesus has set us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The law was a temporary schoolmaster, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. When Jesus came, there was no longer a need to live in bondage to the law. He set us free by grace through faith so that we can now have total access to our Father's presence, and we can house our Father's glory once again without the fear of death. Have you ever heard the story of what a priest had to go through when he went into the Holy of Holies to present the blood and spread it on the Ark of the Covenant on the Day of Atonement? They had to tie a rope around his ankle, and his robe possessed bells at the bottom so that you could hear him moving around in the Holy of Holies. If the bells weren't ringing, then you used the rope to pull the man out of there because he was dead. No one could live in the presence. And Jesus, when he hung on the cross, the veil tore in the temple, giving us total access once again to the presence of the living God without fear of death. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
At this time, anybody out there that's got a pain, that's got a problem with their leg, with their arm, I don't know whether it's a joint problem, I want you to put your hand right on your leg, on your knee. If you've got a stomach ulcer, I want you to put your hand on your stomach. If you got a headache, put your hand on your head at this time.
Yes.
I don't know where it is. Just put your hand right there at this time. In Jesus' name, I command all pain to leave. I command the spirit of infirmity to leave the head. I command spirit of pain to leave. I curse and bind you. I rebuke you, and I command you to leave now. You have no authority here. In Jesus' name, you leave now.
Yes.
I command all arthritis, I curse arthritis at the root, at the seed. I command it to die. I command it to leave the joints now, leave the fingers now. Any broke arms, I command them to be healed now fully in Jesus' name. Anybody that's got hurting feet, I command the pain to leave. I command all the swelling to go down now in Jesus' holy name. Anybody that has cancer, I curse it at the root, I curse it at the seed, I curse the spirit of cancer, and I command it to leave now in Jesus' name. You have no authority. By the stripes of Christ, you're gone. You're gone. You're just manipulating them people, trying to get them to think that it's all right for you to be there, but there's no such thing. You're gone now in Jesus' name. I take authority over you, and I command you to die and leave this person now in Jesus' name. If you've got deaf ears, I ask you to stick your finger in your ear. In Jesus' name, I command deaf ears to open. I command eardrums to be repaired now. In Jesus' name, I command deaf ears to be open now. In Jesus' holy name. Holy Spirit, I ask you to move through these people. I ask you to repair these knees, these legs. I ask you to move in these people's hearts now. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, move. Move now. Move now, Holy Spirit. Hit these people now with fire. Fire. Fire in Jesus' name. 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 Command all demonic spirits within these people, leave now. You have no authority. You leave now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this deliverance. Thank you for these healings. I thank you in Jesus' holy name.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Jacob, where you at, man? I ain't got to hear much from you.
Oh, man, I'm just over here enjoying our brother's preaching, dude. I'm just sitting back listening.
Amen.
Yeah. He had a lot to say in his lot of eye-opening. I really enjoy Robert every time he speaks, every time he talks. Robert, do you have any events that you're going to be doing anytime soon?
The only thing I've got scheduled right now, I'm doing a little extra work with Christian Ministries here in Lincoln County. We are trying to collect fans, box fans for them, as many as we can get. They were recently donated 200, and they've given all of those out, and they're asking for anyone who has them to please donate them. And one of their other needs is, since school is out, they have been feeding and feeding at their soup kitchen a lot of extra people since school is out. So I'd like to request anyone who has the ability to please help them with anything. They appreciate anything that comes in, whether it be food, clothes, or fans, you know. We appreciate anyone who wants to give. And remember, it says in the Word of God, Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. The measure that you
Amen.
Measure out is the measure that will be measured back. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on.
Amen. Jacob, do you have any announcements that you're going to be doing anything pretty soon?
Oh, man, let's see. Well, as you know, my mentor from Dallas, Texas, will be coming to actually visit me and my wife on the 25th. His name is Curry Blake. We're actually trying to get him on the show. That'll happen. I'm going actually to Dallas in July, which is next month, to go to their annual conference. Is John G. Lake Ministries. You can check them out at jglm.org. As far as speaking engagements, I'll be doing an Army of the Lord conference August 7th through the 9th. We're on the Friday session. I'll be there all weekend, but on the Friday session, I'll be teaching healing and activating people in the healing ministry. You know, the Bible says go and train up disciples, so I'll be doing some fivefold ministry work. I just got back from Shreveport, Louisiana, which is about an hour and a half away from me. We saw some miracles. I told my testimony. I was born without a brain and a skull and supernaturally healed at birth. We saw some miracles. We saw some people healed. We saw some people set free from oppression. You can check our ministry out at Sons of Righteousness at Facebook.com, Sons of Righteousness website,
Amen.
SOR Ministries. SORministries.net on the web, and
Amen.
That's about it.
Amen. And check out The Healing Light on Facebook and like the page. So I'll be showing the shows on there, each show that pops up, you know, that we got going to come on Wednesdays and Saturdays. I will have it I would actually have it listed right there on The Healing Light page. So it's The Healing Light Show. And I have many different, you know, amazing things that I've put on there. The Lord does give me, you know, things from time to time, and when I actually get that, I post it on the page where, you know, maybe something that might touch your heart, might heal you, you know. And I do say anybody that has a sickness to post this on the Facebook page, and we will all pray for it. We'll
and if
all
you have
pray
a testimony,
for this sickness.
Post it on the Facebook page, and we will rejoice with you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So, Robert, thank
yes.
you for coming on the show. And
we will
definitely have you on here again for a Wednesday night service.
Okay.
And anybody who wants to listen to this show, just go to the Healing Light Archives, and you can listen to it anytime you want to since we post it. And we'll see y'all again Saturday. God bless every one of y'all. And may God touch each and every one of y'all through the weekend and bless everybody. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.